Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, we welcome Jason Michaels into the Cigar Lounge. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good morning. With that voice, you make me sound so important.
But everyone I interview is important. If you weren't important, you wouldn't get on the podcast.
There you go.
So, Jason, would you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Yeah. Two things, basically. I come from an entertainment background. I fell in love with the art of magic when I was 16 years old, and I've done that as either a hobby or profession for the last 30 years. And I started speaking probably about 10 years ago. It's simply because I had a very persistent friend who was a magician, who was a very good speaker. And he knew my personal story. And my personal story is a story of being a child who grew up with Tourette syndrome and all the uncontrollable tics and vocal tics and motor tics and stuff like that. And he said, you know, you should really incorporate your story into your show. And I really didn't have any interest in that. But over a period, a very long period of that guy being persistent, little by little, I opened up to the idea that I would go out and start using my story to affect people. And so now, at this point, in my speaking career, I have really fully embraced it, and I speak on resiliency, and I use both the magic that I've done for, 30 years, and I use my story to teach the resiliency skills that I talk on.
Well, and let me, I'm going to start by, I always say name names. I want to know who got people into what.
Yeah, sure.
Since it may not mean anything to some people, but who is it that got you into it? Who's the person that pushed you into speaking?
Stephen Bargatze, and being, yep. I'm sure you know who Stephen is, and if anybody knows Nate Bargatze, the famous comedian, that's Stephen Bargatze's dad, who is probably one of the, as far as the general public goes, not well known, but probably one of the finest comedy magicians in the world, far as just how good he is at that. And he's a very compelling speaker. He would go out for years, as long as I've known him, and he's one of my best friends. I'm playing golf with him later today. For as long as I've known him, he would go out and he would speak to groups about growing up in, dealing with drugs and alcohol, a very difficult upbringing. And that's ultimately what opened up my eyes. He multiple times he would say, hey, come with me. I'm doing a presentation. Come with me. Come with me. Come with me. And one day, basically what happened is, because I'll be honest with you, I had zero interest in speaking. I did not want to be one of these guys that said, oh, there's a lot of money out there in speaking, so I'll be a speaker. I dove into the deep end of entertainment. That is where my heart and my soul is. And so, but he invited me so many times. And then one day after one of his programs, he was speaking to a high school group. He had done 30 minutes of magic and they spoke for 30 minutes. And all these young people, as a bunch of people were filing out of the room, a whole bunch of people swarmed him. And I kind of walked over and I wanted to see, what they're talking about. And these young people had been genuinely affected by his message. And it was like this light bulb moment went off for me. And I said, oh, this is why he's wanting me to speak, because all of a sudden he was able to make a connection with them that was different. Being a magician, I firmly believe that the problem with magicians is that we put up this wall that says, hey, I'm a magician and I have these secrets and you're the audience member and I'm not going to tell you these secrets. So there's like a wall between us. We can't connect there. But then all of a sudden, through him talking about this very personal journey, he had connected in a way that, I had not seen it done before. And when I started speaking, that's the goal. The goal is to make that connection with people in a very honest, vulnerable way so that they, so that it helps them, learn the things you're trying to teach, but also helps you, realize that the person they're seeing is somebody just like them going through some of the same struggles and same difficulties that they may be going through.
And it's funny because I think that is And I know most of our listeners are, you and I are magicians, but we're talking to speakers, and it's funny, but you see it in the magic world, and I also see it in the speaking world. Sometimes there's a fear to cross that fourth wall.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can cross over and you can connect with people. That's where the magic happens. And some people just stay sterile and away from it. And I think that's a great encouragement for everybody, is just be willing to reach out and grab people, you know, bring them in, be part of the audience.
The first time I really spoke, I promised this group, they hired me for a show, and I kind of said, oh, you know, can I do a short 10-minute talk, you know, about, you know, my story, blah, 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 afterwards. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I spoke to this group. The show went great. They were really into it. And when I got to the part where I was supposed to share and do, you know, tell my story, I was like, oh, why did you do this? This was a great show. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. So I went ahead and I told my story. It took like 10 minutes or whatever. And after it was all said and done, it went fine. They liked it. It was good. After it was all said and done, this woman walks up to me who was visibly, I could see it in her face. It was very emotional. And she said, you know, she said to me, my son committed suicide 3 years ago, and I've been paralyzed ever since. I haven't known what to do. And by hearing you tell your story, I now know that I need to go out and help other people who have been dealing with the same thing that I've been dealing with. And at this point, I get emotional. And I had never had anything like that happen to me by doing magic tricks, but by being real and vulnerable and letting people into my world, I had made this powerful connection with this woman. And so, yeah, that was the moment. That was the real moment that it became real to me, like not just seeing it for somebody else. It's like, okay, this is powerful and this is necessary. People need this.
Absolutely. That was the moment you did the real magic.
Yeah.
Let me add, okay. So, you said you're golfing with, Stephen Bargatze later today.
Yeah.
So has he stayed a mentor and supporter for you throughout?
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. Stephen is a very kind person. He's a jokester. He's a jokester at heart. That is his, the way he views the world is he sees it with a funny point of view, has a heart of gold, and yeah, absolutely. I can go to him. I'm not a naturally funny person. He is a naturally funny person. So I love to bounce ideas off of him when I'm trying to incorporate humor and comedy into either a show or into a talk. And he's, and you know, I can give him one idea and he'll give me seven back that are all hilarious. You know, no. Who knows if they would be hilarious coming out of my mouth, but to when he says them, they're hilarious. And so, yeah, we're still very close.
Good.
We like to perform shows together, a lot of the speaking that I'm doing today is because of people that he has helped me meet.
Let me ask this: as you have gotten into the speaking world, what are some of the challenges that you faced up front that you've now learned to get around?
Well, I mean, so there's always the, so when I first started, number one, I didn't, you know, I told you I didn't want to tell my story, and I had to learn how to get comfortable with that. The story behind that is that Stephen one day called me and said, I have a show for you, but you have to tell your story. And then he told me how much it paid. Well, as a young magician who needed the money, I was willing to, I didn't want to tell my story because I told him I was not going to talk about Tourette syndrome for years. I'm talking about for years. And he was very persistent. He said, I've got this show for you. I can't do it. Here's how much it pays. You have to tell your story at the end. And so I did it. And what happened was when I told my story, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, as far as like as painful, because when I talk about having tics and stuff like that, the reason I didn't want to tell my story is because it's just really embarrassing to me, thinking back about being a kid and having people make fun of me and things like that. It's just always been an alienating and embarrassing thing. But when I told these people about it, what happened is, number one, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Number two, the thing that I didn't see coming is that it normalized it for me. So instead of feeling like Tourette syndrome is this in my own words, quote unquote, weakness is something that made me less than other people. All of a sudden, by talking to other people about it, I realized, no, this is normal for you. This is just part of the way you're made up. And so, number one, I had to get comfortable talking about it. Another thing I had to, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, you start getting excited about speaking. It's like, oh, I want to tell more people my story. And then you have to figure out, well, okay, how do I do that? who wants to hear my story? Who do I want to get this in front of? And so I had to figure out who to be approaching, you know, who to be in front of. You know, marketers say right person, right time, right message. And if you get those three things correct, then you can sell anybody anything. But that was hard for me. It took me, I tell people that I speak on resiliency today. And that is, and I do genuinely teach five resiliency techniques in my talk, but it took me a couple of years. At first it was like, oh, I talk on Tourette syndrome. And then I was like, but does anybody want to hear that? I mean, people with Tourette syndrome maybe want to hear it, but does anybody else want to hear that? Maybe. And then it was like, okay, I can't talk on overcoming adversity. And it's like, well, okay. What does that mean exactly? Overcoming adversity, that's kind of broad. And so, and then actually through going to an NSA influence event, I remember I was talking to a guy there and he said, what do you do? And it just came out of nowhere. I said, I speak on resiliency. And that's when, and I was like, that is it. That is what you're speaking on. You're talking about helping people deal with the difficulties of life and help them better recover and better, you know, snap back from those. And so I'm not that smart. It took me a couple more years to figure that out. So
no, it takes people a long time to figure these things out.
Yeah.
So once you figured out what your, I want to say your mission was, your drive, did you find a market, or did the market, is the entire world the marketplace? Where did you end up?
Well, isn't that the problem? That we say to ourselves, who wants this or who needs this? And you say, everybody needs it. And you know what? That might genuinely be true. It might be something that everybody would benefit from. But I found a market. And you know what's funny is I'm still aiming to find markets. So I am speaking a lot right now to young people. I started by targeting colleges, and right now I'm speaking a whole lot to groups who are looking for student groups. Sometimes they're high school groups or they're associations that serve students that are in, you know, high school and or college. And so that's where most of my speaking has been for the last, basically since we've come back from all virtual programming. And now that we're, you know, people are doing live events, in-person events again, those have been most of my speaking engagements. But the other market that I am serving is, you know, the healthcare industry, because talking about Tourette's and number one, resiliency is very, much needed in high stress type of jobs. And so those are usually high stress type of jobs, but also because I have a story that somehow connects to the healthcare industry, talking about Tourette syndrome, it also connects with them. So there's kind of two markets there.
Well, and as you go through this, one thing we all know as speakers, the glory is when we're on stage. Entertainers, the glory's on stage. The rest of it is a hassle and it's a lot of work. What gives you the motivation to keep going and keep pursuing every day when you're not on stage?
Okay, this is I think this is humorous. As an entertainer, as a magician selling a magic show for years, I was selling something that nobody needed. Nobody needs a magic show. They need food. They need shelter. They do not need a magic show. And I would try very hard, and I successfully did for a very long time, sell events to corporate groups or to whatever. And you know, I sell events, sell entertainment for their events. But at the end of the day, entertainment is a much smaller budget than education. And so when I started speaking, it was like, I would send out the same emails or make the same phone calls and have people excited to talk to me about my message and like, oh, this sounds really interesting. And they were thanking me. They're saying, thank you for contacting us. And I'm like, Thank you for contacting you. What are you? That's not normal. I'm not used to that response. And so, the simple fact of the matter is that speaking, is part of oh so many events, and the education part of it is needed. They have a much larger education budget than they do for an entertainer to come to some banquet dinner. But the thing that excites me the most about it, because I come from a performance point of view, I fell in love with acting the same time I fell in love with magic. And so I studied acting in high school, and then that was my major in college, is I was going to be a professional actor. And I just happened to have some opportunities open up for me with magic before I got into any success with acting. And so my goal is always about the performance. It's all about connecting with the audience. At the end of the day, for me, the most important thing is to have them engaged. I want them leaning forward. I want them excited and like locked in on either the story that I'm telling, or if I'm performing some sort of a magic trick that helps illustrate a point, what's going to happen, or laughing or whatever. But they have to be engaged the whole time. And if they're not, in my opinion, that has to be fixed, for at least for me. So that's what it's.
I get that. And I'm gonna let me ask this. And what is it that motivates you to keep going on days when you're not on stage, when days you're not connecting? What is it that makes you tick in the down days?
Nice pun, by the way, tick.
There you go. Oh, yeah. All right. That was unintentional.
The thing,
Ladies and
the thing
gentlemen, that
that
was an insensitive Tourette moment.
it, you know what? I love it because Stephen Bargatze, I love him to death, but he spares no one from his humor, and so I've heard more than a few Tourette's jokes. It coming from a loving place. The thing that excites me is me building something of my own. At the end of the day, if I'm sitting here and I'm the one course, but let's say at the end of the day, something that I thought was going to happen, a contract that I thought was going to happen, doesn't come through, and they say, "Oh, we're not going to be able to do this," and it's frustrating. And you go, "Golly, why am I doing this?" Well, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm building something of my own. It's mine. It's not somebody else's. I often joke with my friends. I say, I'm the most unemployable person you've ever met because I have no interest, and I mean zero interest, in helping somebody else build a giant company. It's like, you want me? You're going to give me some money so I can build something huge for you? No, thank you. I will build something for me.
If you're speaking to, you said colleges, students, things like that. If a 16-year-old you asks you for advice on a career path, what would you tell yourself at 16 years of age?
Always be educating yourself. And you do or don't have to go to college. That's up to you, though. That's your path. Make your own decision there. I had a good experience at university, but when I was done with that, I was not done. When I decided to become a magician, I said, "Okay, I'm a magician." And at that moment, I became a professional magician. And then I thought, and who knows this? And I was like, "Oh crap, nobody. Who's going to hire me?" Well, I don't know. So I had to educate myself on how to sell entertainment to people. And that was a pro and that's been a process. That's a process of learning sales, learning marketing, learning branding, learning all of that stuff. I mean, even learning how to make sure that you give your books to your accountant in the best way so that they can properly prepare everything. I mean, it's been an education as a solopreneur or a small business owner. And even transitioning from entertainment into speaking, it's like, okay, always be educating yourself, always be networking with other people and talking to other people that can give you a point of view to help you understand how your industry is working best, how you can be in the industry, how you can potentially lead, be in a leadership position to lead what you're doing and lead what other people are doing. So I think education, hands down, is a lifelong process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree more. What is it that you do if you feel like all of a sudden you're in a rut and you got to pull yourself out of the rut? What do you do to get out of that?
I either take a walk or go to the gym.
Okay.
I get away from it. Like, I just like, because, you know, isn't it true for so many of us that we dive into our businesses and we're working our businesses and we're doing it. And then, like you said, sometimes you get burned out, and sometimes you just need to get away. If you're really burned out, then maybe it's more than take a walk. Maybe it's go take a short trip somewhere. Don't take your laptop with you. You know, take your phone so that if you have to respond, you can. But take a couple of days and just go do something that has nothing to do with your business so that you can decompress. My wife is really good about helping me. You know, she's like, all right, you're not in the business right now. We're doing this other thing. And it's like, okay. Yes, I agree. I need to step away from this or else it is too easy to burn out. You know, you think you got all this energy and you'll have the energy forever. But at some point you go, oh my gosh, I can't keep doing this. And so you do have to balance yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess the question I want to ask, and I asked this several people, but do you, sitting here today, define yourself as successful?
I am on the path to success. Okay. I think if the definition of success is that I'm able to take care of myself, I'm able to pay all my bills, I'm able to eat, I'm able to live where I want to live, then I would say yes. I would also expand the definition of success, though, to say that I have good friends, I have balance, I have a great family, as far as my wife and then my parents and my siblings and nieces and nephews and people that I can invest in. But being someone who sees themselves as someone who wants to achieve big things with large goals and large vision, I would definitely say that I have a ways to go before I hit that point where I go, okay, you finally nailed it. And I'm just on the path right now. I'm not even close. I figure I've got at least 20 more solid years of hustling this and out there and giving the presentations. And I want to give my programs, put them in front of as many people as possible. But I also, in the same process, want to do the thing that I ran away from for so long, which was I want to become someone who really advocates for other people with Tourette syndrome, because it is a really misunderstood disorder, and there are a lot of people who get really bullied. And even in today's world, with much better education than when I was initially diagnosed. And so I want to be someone who is out there doing the work to help improve other people's lives. So there's a long way to go on that.
And also, I think that we just don't want to stop, right? Got to keep
looking. I mean, aren't we passionate about, I don't know anybody who runs a business that got, I mean, for me, it was magic. That's where I started. And now speaking, and I really went from having no interest in speaking to falling in love with speaking. This is a passion for us. Who wants to stop?
Currently, is there a new project on your whiteboard or on your vision board, whatever you do to set your path? Is there a vision or something you're looking at going, I'm going to do something new in the next year?
Yeah, I'm working on, a book with, and the book is it's not specifically about resiliency. It's a little bit more on the path of being an advocate for Tourette syndrome. One of the things that I've noted, and one of the cool things, there's a lot of things I don't like about modern technology and social media, but one of the cool things I like about it is that I've been able to connect with people that I never would have connected before. And I've read a whole lot in Facebook groups about people who have Tourette syndrome that have had terrible experiences and are questioning, you know, the parents who are questioning whether their kids will ever be a success, people who have been bullied and just a lot of lot of bad stuff. Now there's plenty of good stories too, but and that's one of the that's my project. I'm working on a project where I am speaking, doing interviews with people and profiles of people who have currently have and have lived with Tourette syndrome that are living, quote unquote, and this is my definition, quote unquote, successful lives. People who have been able to, and I'm speaking to people from all different walks of life. I just want to show the Tourette syndrome community that just because you have this neurological disorder, it does not have to stop you from accomplishing anything that you set your mind to. Because, I mean, there were some people, if you stop and think about it, a 16-year-old kid who has an uncontrollable movement disorder, it doesn't seem to make sense. And who would actually guide that kid to say, hey, why don't you go stand up on a stage in front of everybody? Because what do you think would happen? You would think all the tics would come out and it would be this horrible thing. But what happened was wildly different. What happened was I found my perfect place, the place that I'm at my best. And so I just want to show other people who are living with the same disorder that I have, that they can, in fact, do whatever they want to do.
What other, I want to say, avocations or passions do you have? We've talked about speaking, we've talked about magic. What else do you do that makes you happy?
I like exercise. I enjoy physical things. I like to play golf. I like to take my wife and I like to take long walks around the neighborhood just to, go out and like get your blood pumping a little bit and stretch out and clear my mind. I personally enjoy things like going to the gym if I, cut a little bit of time out of my day. I find that there if I find that it does two things, and obviously it helps me stay it. Exercise and staying in semi-decent shape helps me from the stage because it helps me with my energy levels. It helps me, everything that you can, all the benefits from exercise apply to being on stage in front of an audience. But the other thing that it does is it helps me mentally. When you do some sort of an exercise and all the endorphins and stuff like that release in your brain, they're those the feel good chemicals. And so if I am having a bad day, I know that I need to go exercise because those feel good chemicals get released and a bad day can be changed and it give me a different point of view. And so that is I think that's one of the things. That's one of the exercise is one of the things I've consistently done since I was a teenager. And I think it's been a I think it's made an quite an impact on my life that I might not even realize the full impact that it's made.
Cool. Now we're going to take a little bit of a turn, and we've talked about we both have a common interest in magic and speaking, and you're sitting in the cigar lounge with us today. So tell me about Maduro playing cards.
I found out about these cool playing cards. It's called the King's Wild Project. This guy named Jackson, I'm thinking of Jackson's last name, and you hit me off the you came at me from a side angle here, so
Yeah,
I'm
I
thinking
do
of
that.
Jackson's last name. But he's this incredible playing card designer, and he creates his own playing card. I mean, he designs like every he's like designing a new playing card, and I'm talking about intricate, beautiful designs, like really great
Yeah.
stuff. And he designed, so I'm a huge fan. I love Cigar Aficionado magazine. I enjoy reading it. And I wanted to do something. There was an anniversary coming up, and so I did some research, and I found that there were these playing cards that this designer had created called Maduro playing cards, and they look like a cigar wrapper on the back. They have it looks like there's a band that is
Yep.
designed into the back. They're beautiful, and like the back is beautiful, but also the actual playing cards are beautiful, and they handle if you. If you're a playing card enthusiast or anything like that, they handle. They're so the handling is beautiful. They're just as good as any high quality. Well, I mean, they are a high quality playing card, but they're just as good as any really high quality playing card. The type of thing that you would, that they would play it with at a casino or something like that. And
And somehow I connected you to those cards. Were you involved in that, or?
No, but what I did was I created a trick using those cards where I told a story about this magazine, Cigar Aficionado magazine, and I it's a there's a magic trick out there. The idea behind the magic trick is that you can you, through giving the cards a series of shuffles and cuts and whatnot, you then start dealing the cards out and you start telling a story. And as you're dealing the cards out, the cards tell this story. And so what I did is I crafted a trick for Cigar Aficionado magazine and I submitted it to them. And they were really pretty blown away by it because number one, I don't think they'd ever seen anything like it. Number two, the trick itself was about them. And it you and I did use the Maduro because I wanted it to be all cigar themed. I
Yeah.
used the Maduro playing cards, and so it was a super fun project to do. But this is the type of stuff that I like doing when I'm working on magic. I like if I can get behind it, I like creating stuff that is that gives that sort of surprise for somebody
Oh,
that I'm working for a project on.
absolutely. Understood. I just thought it was great to highlight it here because you actually brought all of your interests, including cigars, all into one place. And
Absolutely,
you know, that's a
absolutely.
beautiful thing. If anyone is trying to reach out to you or get a hold of you in the Cigar Peg, what's the best way to find you, connect with you?
Sure, yeah. My website is Jason Michaels with an S at the end and then the word magic.com. And so that's where everything that I do is, whether you're interested in magic or my keynote programs, and even to see, you know, what we just talked about with the Cigar Aficionado trick, and that's up there. I did a if anybody has heard of the television show Penn and Teller Fool Us, my appearance from Penn and Teller Fool Us is up there. So jasonmichaelsmagic.com, and yeah, everything's right there.
Well, Jason, I thank you very much for being in the Cigar Lounge today. That was fun.
Absolutely.
And
Thank you.
look
Thank you
forward
for
to
having
seeing
me.
you soon. All right. Be well. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.